for Sunday, November 4th, 2018. Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. It is All Saints Sunday, and so we are going to remember those that have gone before us, and we are going to hear from John chapter 11 today, verses 32 to 44. Now let's begin with the Lord's Prayer, followed by Pastor Arnie Berglund reading the Gospel and his sermon.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When Mary came and saw where Jesus was, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have they laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, saints.
Good morning,
good morning, sinners. Abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours and God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our flags have flown at half-mast this week. A national tragedy has once again reminded us of the power of evil and the transitory nature of life, even life made cheap by an assassin's bullet, as if we needed to be reminded of these things. Today we remember a long line of the faithful who have gone before us. Even so, I wonder. Jesus says, "You will see God's glory." And I wonder how we see God's glory in a procession that always ends up at death. Kathleen Norris is an author who shares the story of a young girl who kept snails as pets. she writes, "When my third snail died," the little girl wrote, sitting halfway in, halfway out of her desk, one leg swinging in the air, "when my third snail died, I said, I'm through with snails." She sits up to let me pass down the aisle. Norris writes, "I'm the visiting poet working with the third grade in this dying school, this dying town. We are writing about our lives. Kathleen's book chronicles the some 20 years that she spent living in western North Dakota, in a land where farmers and ranchers have been struggling to survive through boom and bust for better than a century. Typical of Dakota counties west of the Missouri River, Parkins County, where she lived, had a population of over 11,000 at the height of the homestead boom in 1910. In 2010, the census said the population was 2,982. We know this phenomenon here in Montana as well. Young people leave small towns for a new life in the city. Businesses fold up. Churches struggle to hold together a handful of aging members. As we face death, some deny it. Kathleen found plenty of Dakotans who insisted that the good times would return. As we face death, some blame others for their problems. Some deal with death by giving in to despair. "When my third snail died, I said, I'm through with snails." How devastating it is to commit to something or to someone, one's love, one's family, one's people, and then to have that person or that enterprise die. Why go on? In the Gospel of John, the story of Lazarus functions as a parable of the Christian life. It is a story that only makes sense when it is viewed as an object lesson. Why would Jesus wait 2 days before responding to the urgent cry to come to the bedside of his friend Lazarus if he didn't want somehow to remove any doubt at all that this man was really and truly dead? Why would he pray to God, "I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me"? This acted out parable, which is designed to teach those he loves and those standing by what it means to believe in God. The beloved brother of Mary and Martha has contracted a lethal illness. They send out a plea to their friend Jesus, and Jesus takes his time. He delays his arrival on the scene until after Lazarus is dead. Then Jesus has both bereaved sisters to contend with. In this parable, he encounters several attitudes towards death. Were the disciples, were they in denial? At least at first, they didn't realize the seriousness of Lazarus's situation. If he was asleep, they said, "He's going to be okay." Well, what the disciples didn't seem to realize was the seriousness of Jesus's situation and of their situation if they were to stick with him, because underneath this story, we can sense the building of some level of danger to Jesus's own life. Well, Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again," and Martha responds in much the same manner that bereaved believers have responded ever since. "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." It seems inadequate, doesn't it? Don't tell me that time will take care of my grief. You see, I'm in pain now. Don't tell me that. I can't imagine living through today or tomorrow or the or the life to come for that matter. I'm in pain now. How can I endure the loss I have experienced? How can life have any meaning for me at all now? And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? Those who believe in Jesus Christ, even though they die physically, will live spiritually, and everyone who lives spiritually and believes in him will never die. This is a message for now and for today and for all the days after the loss of someone or something that we've loved has died, after the loss of people who have been taken from us. Yes, this is a message for now, and it is also one for later. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, even though they die physically, will in the last days be raised up to eternal life, and neither message can cancel each other out. Do you believe that? Martha responded to this question in faith, even though she had the sign in her brother's raising. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. And the parable now has a lesson about how Jesus intends to make good on his word. Mary and her comforters now come to meet Jesus. Mary says, as if she had no hope at all, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So devastating was Mary's grief that Jesus too began to weep. If this is a parable of the Christian life, the message is that Christians have to face a lot of death in the course of living. When death does not have the power for a believer to wipe out meaning or to end spiritual life, it is nevertheless excruciatingly painful to experience tragedy and loss and death. And it is appropriate to weep under such circumstances. It's normal to deny. It's normal to be angry at those things that cause death in our lives and in our world. But rather than rebuke Mary for her tears, Jesus joins her and cries, just as I believe Jesus weeps over every one of our losses, over every one of our disappointments, over every one of our failures. This is not the denial of death. It's an acknowledgement of its reality. Then it is that Jesus and all with him face the harsh truth of the situation. They go to that tomb. They see what we all know, that death is not pretty. No matter how much we might try to dress it up with cosmetology and satin-lined caskets, no matter how lifelike we try to make things look, death is decay. And in this story, it is Martha who straightforwardly speaks the truth. Already it stinks in there. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Yeah. Martha says it like it is. And so we find ourselves standing at the site of a tomb, of a cave with a stone lying against it. Does that remind you of another story in Scripture? Does that remind you of another tomb in another place? And may we now understand how it is that Jesus intends to make good on his promise to Martha and also to all who would believe. By coming to Bethany to raise Lazarus, Jesus, you see, was risking his own death. By calling Lazarus out of the tomb, Jesus was guaranteeing his own death, as he started a movement. The revelation of God in the person of Christ was moving towards the cross, you see. As Jesus screamed into that tomb, "Lazarus, come out," we understand that what Jesus intends is to take Lazarus's place. Not literally, of course, because even though raised, we have to assume that Lazarus will eventually die again physically. But by dying as even believers die, and by being raised by God, Jesus allows us to be raised with him to eternal life, knowing here that death is not the last word. We, you see, are free to live. We are here to know God's promise, and we can embrace death's reality as a part of earthly living, even within the bounds of our grief and with our pain. Lazarus, even as we Christians, whom he clearly represents in this story, comes stumbling out of the tomb with a new lease on life. But he, like we too often, is still dragging around with him the wrappings of death. He who has experienced days of being dead cannot quite experience living. The gift which he's received through Jesus Christ is not quite real to him. He's still bound up by old expectations. So Jesus has one more gift to offer, and that is the gift of community. To those standing by who had seen this acted out sign of God's glory and believed, he gives the community the task of unbinding Lazarus of his funeral wrapping, of loosing him from the past, of helping him to claim the freedom of new life in Jesus. And that, my friends, is the work of the church, the work of this community, because we still live in a world of death marked by tragedies and hate and violence. We lose people, we lose jobs, we lose institutions, but we still experience tragedies. But if we claim the gift of new life which Jesus offers, we will never die. We will live each day in hope and be willing again and again, even though it can hurt, we will be willing and able again to invest ourselves in people and work and love, knowing that's the only way to truly live. That's the only way to respond to the decay of death and harm. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.